Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to AEW Unrestricted, the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Tony Schiavone. This is Aubrey Edwards.
Grown stronger over the years.
It has. Yeah. I don't know why. It's because I'm paying you money?
No, I just like crazy women.
No, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. I mean, I've seen the videos of your wife. That's... Oh, boy. I mean... Anyway, segue into our guest today. Yeah, welcome to AEW Unrestricted, where we just talk about Tony's marriage. I don't know. today, speaking of marriage, which is kind of like a tag team, that's my official segue. We've got this amazing tag team here, Chaos Project, Serpentico, Snakeman, and Dr. Luther. Are you just Luther now? Did you lose your doctorate? Luther,
but sometimes I still go by Dr. Luther.
Yeah, he's a former doctor, present doctor, future doctor, Luther. Chaos Project. So you guys were formed together, like Tony Khan put you two together, correct?
Yes.
How did that conversation start?
Well, we he saw us randomly in the back, just like kind of hanging out together and stuff. And we have a unique look,
would
say.
Right.
And he approached Lenny first. And he heard the grapevine that he might have an idea of putting us together. And give us a little tryout match to see how we gel. And that was that. Just put us in the match that night.
The beauty of AEW Dark. You can try new things.
Try new things.
And we do every match. We try something new.
You try to throw him in different ways.
Yeah, I do. we'll run that flag up the flagpole and we just see who salutes it. And if we don't get anyone saluting it, we'll try something new the next time.
There you go. That's how wrestling works.
That's how it works. And we talked about your partnership and your chemistry. And I guess that's how the chemistry works, right? You trust each other to try some different things. And
I don't really exactly remember how we started doing that.
I think it was on accident because I'm
like all good things.
All good things like an accident. I'm usually the smaller guy in any match.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If I'm wrestling Mark or something, I'm next to him. I'm probably the smallest guy on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no other choice but to go. Well, I can't pick anybody up, so how about you throw me at people? You look pretty big and strong.
I think we started with the body slam.
And so we had, and it worked out. Got a good reaction. Like, we might have something here. And then it morphed into a lot of pain for me and a lot of joy for Lenny. It's great.
It works.
Is it like marriage? I'm not married, so I wouldn't know.
It's like marriage. Right. It's a lot like marriage.
Yeah, a lot of pain and a lot of...
more pain the longer you go.
Luther, talk about your journey to AEW. You signed in March, right before the pandemic hit. So talk about your journey here, because that's... It's certainly an interesting one.
So I get a call and Chris Jericho, and he says that they're looking maybe for a manager type for a new group they're putting together, Dark Order. So he had brought my name up, and they were interested in it. So I sent in an audition tape, and they liked it, and they wanted to see another one. So I sent another one in, and they liked it. So I sent another one in, and then they brought me in to do a screen test. But then there was some other people also in the running for the same gig, right?
Yeah, as we've mentioned, it's like Matt Hardy was one of the names at one point, Brody Lee eventually, and then there was a couple others that we can't talk about, but...
Yeah, so and I was in there, and I was like, even just that alone, I thought was really cool to be mentioned with all those people, and they said that they liked it. I sent some really... I didn't know about the group, so I watched some tapes of Uno and Stu and all that. So I kind of did something to what they were doing at the time, which isn't anything like what they're doing
no,
now.
No, they had the creepers back then. Yeah. It was very, like, actually more culty than it is now. And
so I was teaching at a school in Salem, which you've, I think you've worked out there before.
Yeah.
And so I just had the students kind of be creepers or whatever and hang out.
Perfect.
So I used them for my audition tape. So
everyone uses the students as creepers. I like yeah, that this is the ongoing theme we have. Cool.
I just didn't have any of them punch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey-o.
Whoa. So anyways, classic. So the tapes were really good, I thought. My direction was completely different than the way Brody did or the way anybody else did it.
Right.
It was kind of, I guess, more mystical.
Sure.
Maybe more, because, you know, my whole deal. Mm-hmm. But then when I got brought out, they still liked all the interviews, and then I ended up in Brandy's group.
A Nightmare Collective, right? Yeah.
So I was in that for a hot minute, and then...
Yeah.
I like that you were sort of the manager for a group about collecting hair, but you didn't actually have hair yourself.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was a nice little, like,
that kind of makes sense.
It does. It's like he wants it because he doesn't have it.
Wish I had hair, trust me.
As the old cliche goes, they pumped the brakes on the Nightmare Collective because it was very similar to the Dark Order at that time.
Very similar.
Right, yeah. So I get that.
That's the female version.
Right.
I think it had some legs on it. It just had to maybe find its way. It didn't mm-hmm. really find its direction.
Right.
Right.
But,
so who knows?
Yeah, who knows what would have happened.
It'll pop maybe. Right back up.
Yeah. So, I mean, Serpentico, you made your AEW debut in Dark in a match against QT Marshall. Mm-hmm. How did you get that opportunity? Because it was during the pandemic, right?
It was. That was right before, right after that match was right after all the booking ceased. You know,
yes.
Everything stopped. The entire world
stopped. The indies shut down. Nobody was making any money.
You know, the WrestleMania weekend was in Florida.
I had like 3 bookings that year. Like, they were all surprise appearances. I didn't get to do any of them.
Because I'm local, I had like at least 10 to 15 bookings that week, just on that week alone.
And yeah.
One by one, they just kept calling me saying, sorry. I'm like, well, there's my rent. Because at that time, I was actually living off of independent wrestling. Which is
congrats. That's really hard to do.
I'm really proud of that.
Good.
But at the same time, because I was living off independent wrestling, once it shut down, which no one ever thought would happen,
fuck
now
you.
I don't know how to pay rent. What am I going to do? I have some savings, but eventually it's going to go away. And I've known QT for such a long time. We trained together at Bubba and Devon School in Florida.
Oh, snap.
So he reached out to me and said, hey, I know you're hurting for bookings and stuff, and this might not lead to anything. I can't promise anything, but show up. You want to wrestle me, that'd be cool. And I personally thought, all right, this would be a nice way to go out, right? Wrestle one of my friends, wrestle Dustin, and then that's it. Set off in the sunset, because I wasn't expecting anything to come from it.
And you never should, right? Like, if you're getting bookings as an enhancement talent, like, it's a one-off thing that's really, and because you can't guarantee anything in wrestling. Like, this could all be gone tomorrow.
Exactly.
If we're all being perfectly honest with ourselves. So the fact you come in and just kind of say, okay, I'm going to just do the best job I can. But that led to repeated bookings.
Yeah,
you were here all the time.
They kept calling me back. And I told QT this like months after. I'm like, my intention was that to be my last match.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go out like.
Like you were retiring, like straight up done.
Because I didn't think, I like to say I'm very forward thinker. And I didn't think I could kickstart my career after a world pandemic.
Yeah.
To where I was, right?
Right.
It's going to be really hard. Wrestling how it was then, it was really hot. It was great. And then once everything shuts down, it's going to take, it's like a motor. It has to slowly start, you know, turning its gears again. Eventually, it'll get going again. But as it were, like, you're not able to make a living off of it. So that was my last match. And he could just call me back. And here I am now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Here you are. You guys, a couple of big matches that you had. And obviously, one is the Chris Jericho's 30th anniversary celebration.
Which is wonderful.
When you guys faced him. And I know you and Chris have been very good friends. But, I mean, that's got to be very special for you to wrestle him on national TV in such a high-profile match that had so much meaning.
It was crazy. It was one of the most special events I've ever had happen to me in my life, for sure.
Right.
It was hard to kind of stay in character when I first walked through the rope, just, like, first – I think I didn't even stay. Like, I kind of I had a little smile.
There was a little twinkle on your eye and smile.
Yeah. It was really cool. I mean, we haven't wrestled with each other since 1995. In Japan, I think, was the last time we were in the ring.
But you've been friends for so long.
Yeah, 30 years.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those, it's a really unique experience because you never know what's going to happen in wrestling. Like,
you never
know. I mean, like 3 years ago, AEW wasn't even part of the conversation, right? And now we're all here on a podcast. So you never know what to expect. And it's always super great. And, you know, someone, like you were just saying, Snake Man, that you were going to retire and now you're in the main event of, you know, Chris Jericho's 30th anniversary. Yeah, so crazy, kind of like a complete change, of course, for where you expected the year to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beach Break, you had the match against Hangman and Matt Hardy, which was a great match. Another feature match. Fun. I'm sure that was a lot
that
of fun. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah.
I mean, you think about yourself and both of your careers, and we're going to talk about your careers before AEW in just a moment. But if you think about, man, I'm in the ring with a guy like Matt Hardy, right? Yeah. Or a guy like Chris Jericho, I'm in the ring with, I mean, some legends,
yeah.
Right? It makes it special. And you guys rose to the occasion both times.
Thank you.
I mean, you really did. So you had great matches.
Feel real.
Yeah.
If you guys notice on every entrance, I look at the Tron before I turn to the ring because I want to make sure this is completely still real.
Oh. That you're really there.
I'm really there. I look at it every time.
Like, that's crazy. My name. We're good. Okay. That's me.
Get it.
Good. I didn't just walk out in front of somebody else that was supposed to be here. This is my music, I think.
And it's crazy how you know, things can turn around, you know?
Yeah.
For the worse and then now for the better.
So how did it feel to crash a kid's birthday party?
It's 100% the one thing I'd do again, but I think
that
was awesome. I would do it again every day.
The ire that we got online for crashing his birthday party, I want that every day.
Yeah,
that's good heat, brother.
That's like a drug.
Your face in the cake was perfect because you were going to make sure that you put your face in the cake.
That table did not budge.
Right. No, it was supposed to break and then it didn't.
Cement.
I think we were in the back. We just hear thud and we're like, no.
I came down so hard and it didn't even, like, not even a little bit. Not even a tiny. I just hit. And
Dispenza
was like,
didn't even gimmick it? Like, oh, no. My God.
They said, oh, this is.
The entire match went off without a hitch and we're not worried about the match. The entire match, all of us would think about is the cake and the table. Like, right. We should not touch the cake or the table during the promo, during the match.
Right.
And then I'm looking, peeking out the corner of my eye in the ring and it doesn't budge. I'm like, well, I guess.
Because when the table breaks, the cake just engulfs you. But when the table doesn't break, you got to engulf. I have to engulf.
It's all on you, buddy.
Yeah.
All on you, buddy.
You did a good job of that, too. I could tell that you were really making sure you got your face in the cake.
Oh, you gotta live the moment, brother. Yeah.
Every time there's a cake in wrestling, somebody's going to get
every
time, which is one of the wonderful things about our sport.
It's predictable. It's still fun.
But it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Serpentico and Luther, the Chaos Project. Next, we're going to be talking about their years before AEW here on Unrestricted.
Welcome back to AEW Unrestricted. I'm Aubrey Edwards. This is Tony Schiavone.
Okay, you point to the camera.
I am. I'm pointing to the camera. Watch the video on YouTube and you'll see me furiously point at the camera. It's what I do. It's kind of my signature. I just point at people really hard. It's great because people on Cameo actually ask me, like, can you point at the camera? I'm like, sure, pay me $55. I'll absolutely do whatever you want. It's great. We're talking to Luther and Serpentico here.
I'm going to need to process that last line for a second. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Serpentico, you had actually studied Lucha Libre in Puerto Rico. Is that correct?
Yes, I was born and raised in Puerto Rico.
Oh, my God. So what drew you to Lucha Libre?
It's in my family. My father was an independent professional wrestler for maybe 2 or 3 years before he got hurt and then got what I call a big boy job. You know, his back hurt, so he couldn't, you know, do this anymore. But I was always around it because of him. I would be taken to independent shows across the island. And I didn't know at the time, I was small, so I didn't know what was going on, but you learn and like it through osmosis, right? And then the beauty about Puerto Rican wrestling is because it's the island is so small but so dense, anywhere you go wrestling is there. Anywhere you go. So I grew up watching wrestling on the weekends. There was an hour block of AAA, CMLL, Superstars, and then the local, like, other smaller companies on the island. And then Mondays would be Raw and then you know, Nitro and stuff like that. So I was always around it. So naturally, I just slowly just kind of pushed myself towards it. And literally the day after I graduated high school, I started wrestling class.
So what made you make the move to Florida?
I also realized that me being the smaller statured person that I am, it was going to be really, really hard to stand out where I was. So I wanted to give myself a fighting chance and moved to Florida and broaden my horizons with, you know, different training. And that's where I met Bubba and Devon.
Right.
And the moves to me were easy to learn. This is what I learned back home, like all the stunts and all the, you know, all the moves are easy, but where to put them, that's where Bubba and Devon taught me, like, psychology of it. How to put them in a match, what comes before, what comes after, why
that's
are we doing
that's
them?
The hard part.
Right, that is correct. That is the hard part. And that's my education. When I got here, that's my legitimate wrestling education. And I'm thankful I did move, because then that would help me, you know, throughout the years.
Talk about the development of the mask, Serpentico. How did all that come about?
The mask, I wrestled without a mask.
What?
Don't look it up.
Okay.
It's before the times.
Before times.
Yeah, before times. But a friend of mine who happens to be a very skilled artist called Pale Horse, Chris Parks, he's based out of St. Pete. He wanted to make a living portrait of a wrestler. He wanted to paint a wrestler, but he wanted the wrestler to come to life.
Okay.
And that morphed to one wrestler, to two, to three. So he gathered four or five local wrestlers around town, me being one of them, put us under his creation of a mask, and we had a wrestling show. And it was an art exhibit.
Oh, that's cool.
Wrestling show.
That's right? Really cool.
So the people would open the doors to the art exhibit. There'd be giant pictures of us in our gear and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the surprise was, when they turned around, there was a wrestling ring. And the art came to life, and we had a wrestling show.
Oh, that's dope.
It's so good. If you guys look it up, Pale Horse Lucha on YouTube. It's so good.
Pale Horse Lucha. Okay.
Wow.
We had two very successful shows. And after the second show, I asked him, hey, this is really fun. I never thought I'd want to wrestle under a mask, but can I have your blessings to keep doing this? And without a second thought, he signed everything over to me. So, yeah, that's how it came about.
Yeah. That is a great story.
It's really great, because one of the, you know, the unfortunate things with masks is that it covers a lot, like your facial expression. Yeah. So it's very hard to sell a story if you don't have use of your facials. Yeah. But I think that's one of the things that I really like about watching you is you're so animated. So you're one of those guys that works really, really well under a mask, just because, especially like when paired with Luther, because all of your body needs to be in motion in order to complement sort of his style. And it just works so, so well. I love it.
You said your dad was injured and had a big boy job.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned the pandemic. You thought your wrestling career was over.
That's it.
What was going to be for you next?
No clue.
Okay.
When people say I didn't have a backup plan, like, it's true, I did not have one.
Right.
I always thought, I was always in wrestling for wrestling, right? I always wanted to do this the rest of my life, and I was going to find a way to do it.
Sure.
I just never accounted for the world stopping.
Right.
That's the one thing I never, like, thought about that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do anything wrestling related. I would help train, wrestle on shows. I would do motion capture for video games, wrestling video games, stuff like that.
Right.
Shout out AEW Games.
AEW Games, yeah.
But I didn't know, once the world ended, I had no idea where to go. I was going to find whatever I could, you know, support my family. But
so you were never going to get a big boy job?
Don't want to. I want to dress like this the rest of my life.
Okay. Hell yeah. So Luther, you're originally from Calgary.
True.
You started Stampede Wrestling with Chris Jericho. But what was your introduction to wrestling before that?
Much like everybody, you know, every Saturday I'd watch wrestling on TV. We'd have All-Star Wrestling from Vancouver, then Stampede Wrestling from Calgary, and then we had, at the time, WWF, Maple Leaf Wrestling, I think it was called.
Okay.
So it was those shows back-to-back, and then have enough time to grab a quick bite to eat or play a quick game of street hockey, and then it was in to watch Hockey Night in Canada all night. So that was my Saturday, so that's what I would do. And then Friday nights in Calgary, they would tape the show that they would air on Saturday. So usually I'd go to the shows at least once a month, if sometimes two times, because I lived outside of Calgary. So we'd go in and get to watch the show on Friday, and then watch it on Saturday and see if we got on TV in the back, you know, we bring signs and the whole bit.
Right.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was cool watching, like, Dynamite Kid and Bret Hart. Like, this is before they were in WWF.
Right.
Bad News Allen and Archie Goldie. Like, there was Dave Schultz. It was a great product.
And when you started into wrestling, everybody from Calgary gets the same question. Did you go to the Dungeon?
I did. I trained with the Hart.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You trained with the Hart family. Yep. And so Stu made you scream down in the dungeon?
I've been stressed by Stu numerous times.
You take it out on me now. Thanks.
I do. Because three times.
That's karma.
Actually, after the shows on Friday, they go to this little pizza place. And there would be like a few guys there, and Stu would go there. So in the parking lot, on three occasions, I've been stretched out in a parking lot in front of a pizza place by Stu.
Oh, that's great.
Did you deserve it?
No, he does the same thing all the time. He'll walk up to you and be like, oh, you're a pretty big boy. And he'd guess your weight.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want to put something on you. Tell me if you know this one. And if it hurts, just tap my thigh and I'll let go. But your arms are nowhere near his thigh. Wrapped up around your back of your head.
Yeah.
And he was still strong as
what a mom. Worker. Oh, what a worker.
Wow. So it's a legend.
Yeah, he would put him on. So, like, I always thought it was really cool, though, that I got to sort of hang out with Stu Hart, which
sure.
was awesome.
Sure, absolutely.
I wish back then, though, we had cell phones because, like, I have no pictures. I didn't want to carry a camera.
No one did. No one did.
So I was like, it's all just in my, like, right. all the memories in my head. Like, I wish I would have pictures and stuff.
We sent, back in the WCW days when Brett first started working for us, we sent a camera crew to the dungeon. So I know that's, I know it's been filmed. And I think we ended up stretching our director.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, probably. I would imagine.
Like a
all the holes in the ceiling. Yeah. And tore up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd like to see that because it was. So you obviously started wrestling with Stampede, but you made your name in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever think you'd go to Japan and this would be your?
No.
Your
what happened was, me and Chris Jericho and his partner Lance Storm. We went down to California to do tours, to tour in California or whatever. But they had contacted, we had sort of an agent/agent, and they contacted them saying they got booked to go to Japan. So that was awesome. So I stayed there. They went to Japan. They did pretty good. And then they, when they got sent home, they said, do another year of indies. And then, because you guys, they were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Like very totally green. Brand new. Do another year of indies, and then we'll bring it back. So then it was... You know, we did the whole Canada thing, and we were just keep going at it. And they had sent a agent or scout or whatever you want to call it over to watch them. So they had this ring set up in a like a community hall type thing. Mm-hmm. There was no one there, and I was just hanging out with Chris. I was going to be wrestling because at the time I was actually thinking about, yeah, maybe this isn't it. Like, I'm wrestling quite a bit, but we're driving like 15 hours from Calgary to Vancouver. To make $50.
Sure.
Yep.
Driving 15 hours back.
Right.
Like, I could have just had a job and made more than that.
Absolutely.
Not had all that.
Right.
But it wasn't about the money. It was about the love of wrestling.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Right.
But there, you know, when your parents are on you, you start thinking like, well, maybe I need to.
Maybe I need a big boy job.
Yeah. So that's
the phrase of the day.
I had
the
worst. Thinking, you know, what we're going to do. And then so I went down. Chris was like, hey, we're doing this match. Want to come down and watch? I was like, yeah, totally. I got nothing going on. I'll come down and watch you guys. So it was just me, this agent, the scout, and then the guys that are wrestling came in. One guy came in. His name is Randy. Another guy came in, and he was on crutches. And so they're like, well, he hurt his leg or his knee or his ankle. There's no one for the work. Can you work for him? And I was like, I didn't really want to, like, you know what I mean? But
you had your gear.
I didn't have my gear.
What? You broke the rule?
No, because this was, I was just going to watch Chris.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter. You always bring your gear.
We were just having one match, right?
Okay.
So I was like, and then Chris was like, come on, man. Come on, brother. So I was like, all right. So I had to borrow this guy's gear. And this guy was really, his hygiene was not good. It was
So
I was like, I am super taking one for the team right now.
Yeah.
Like, so I had to borrow this
Chris,
guy's
you stuff. Owe me when you eventually have your 30th episode on television.
When you are in AW on your 30th anniversary.
You're going to book me.
So I wore this gross gear or whatever. But I had wrestled Chris and Lance hundreds of times because around Canada, like, it was basically me and somebody against them on most shows. So it was pretty easy. We went in, we had our match, and then it was crazy because at the end of the night, I was the only one that got a contract.
Oh, snap!
And I wasn't really even trying for that or whatever. So it was crazy. But, you know, in hindsight, both those kids did pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they did okay.
Yeah, they did okay.
So you became sort of a hardcore legend.
I wouldn't go that far. But.
Okay. Well, you were a hardcore legend.
Well, when you first walked on to AEW, that's what we said.
Yeah.
A hardcore legend of the death matches in Japan.
Well, I actually had people from up in Canada text me. They're like, you guys got Luther? Like, he's a hardcore legend. Like, so I don't know if this is your intended legacy, but this is your actual legacy. But like, what drew you to the kind of more hardcore no DQ styles of wrestling?
Just going to FMW. Like, I had to tell you the truth, when I got booked there, when I got that gig, I had never even heard of them, like, other than Chris and Lance went over there one time. And so I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't have a character. I kind of put it together. Even on the flight over there, I came up with the character. Like, the point, like, all the stuff I do today is all the stuff I've done. Yeah, it's all the same stuff. So I came up with that, like, on the airplane over there. And then I wasn't sure what the character, kind of like when you come here and you start new stuff, it takes a couple times and things morph and change and, until you...
You're waiting for that thing to click.
Yeah, until you find your way. So I kind of did the same thing. It took me a couple shows, and I just went and watched the matches, and I was like, oh, this is crazy. Like, there's matches in Stampede, you know, they'd have the, like, the coal miner's glove match and things, but those are always, like, big blow-offs.
Right.
At this company, from the third or fourth match up, was all, like crazy matches.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
So I was like, whoa. And these aren't blow-offs. These are just matches, and then tomorrow we're Tuesday. Doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So I was like, okay. So I just, you know, the one thing that I was really good at, and I'm never going to say, like, and I never do say, like, oh, I'm the best wrestler, I'm the this or that, but I was able to adapt and change to whatever style I'm at.
Right.
Like, wherever I'm at, it just takes me, I'll watch, study, talk to people, and then adapt to it. I mean, I traveled the world wrestling, and that's how I did it, just learning their style very quickly. Enough to get by, do okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
That's arguably what we're all doing.
Yeah. And so, and that's what I did there. I just sort of tried to adapt, and then I got to work with some good, really cool guys there, like Hayabusa and Tarzan Goto, Russell Bonita, Mike Awesome. Like, so there is good talent there. And, like,
wow.
And one of the good things, too, with going over there not knowing, too, is, like, I didn't get myself psyched out. Like, on Chris's thing, oh, you're working Chris on his biggest night. I was like, ugh.
It's like, you know, to you, he's just Chris.
Right.
That night is the one of the first times it kind of got in my head.
Really?
Because it was such a big,
right,
big thing. But going over there, like, hey, you're wrestling Onita or Tarzan Goto or Great Kubaki or anybody like that. I'm like, I didn't know who they were. So I was like, all right.
Cool, whatever.
It meant nothing to me because I had no clue who they were, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but maybe good.
Yeah, maybe good.
And then...
it worked out.
Yeah, they put the title on me, my fourth match there.
Wow. Oh.
How about that?
So I was like...
Doing something right.
So I guess I did okay.
Yeah. We're talking with the Chaos Project. When we come back, we are going to give them our fan question.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
The fan question. Stay with us.
This is AEW Unrestricted. I'm Aubrey Edwards here with my close personal friend, Tony Schiavone, who just called me a bitch when we were off air. I'll have you know this. But he did it affectionately, so I'll let it slide.
It sounded like there was love in his voice.
Yes, I know.
Oh, there's absolutely love. Like anger and violence is how I show affection. And I think that's rubbed off on Tony a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She slapped me around a lot.
A lot. Wow. But it's like, I love you, bitch. That's good. He's like, thank you. Thank you, sweetie. That's what he says. So first question. There was a number of fan questions. I want to ask Serpentico. Who is your favorite wrestler, David Arquette or John Cruz?
Oh, man. Any choice that has John Cruz in it, I'm going to go the other way. It doesn't matter what the other...
He's just a terrible wrestler.
He's the worst.
I don't know why we book him.
I don't know either. He probably likes Blue Jolly Ranchers. He's probably the worst.
Blue Jolly Ranchers are great. What's your fucking problem?
Okay. Well, this interview's over.
Yeah. We're going to have to throw these microphones down.
I like Blue Jolly Ranchers.
Okay.
Star Nerdy on Twitter. That's star_nerdy. These names. Luther, do you have anything special after broadcast to soothe your voice after all that yelling?
God, the yelling.
No. Just, I'm so used to it, I think it doesn't really affect me too much.
Vocal cords are permanently scarred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From yelling at you, which is very enjoyable, by the way.
People on Twitter love that shit, and you're just like, you yell at me, and I'm just like, just sell it like I'm in a wind tunnel.
You know, the first time you yelled back, I was like, no one's ever yelled. I didn't know what to do.
Now what?
Stumps. I gotcha.
No, I was like backed in the corner.
Star Nerdy also wants to know for Serpentico, where did you get the idea of streamers shooting from your hands? Where did that come from?
I wanted to be different.
Yeah, it's unique. No one else does it, right?
When I first got here, I wrestled Darby in the singles.
That's right.
Dustin was my coach. And we had put something together, nothing too much. And then, the one thing I wanted to get in, like, I told Dustin, like, I don't care about the moves. Like, anyone can do these moves. You know, we both can do moves. Can I just get this entrance in? And I showed him a video on YouTube. And completely thinking I was going to get shot down because, you know, enhancement talent. So why would I get something
like that? It's like, why are you asking for something?
Why are you asking for something on your first day here, on your second day here, right? But then he, yeah, this is what's cool about AEW. He's like, it's your entrance, right? He's like, yeah. I'm like, do it. All right.
Dustin's the best.
Just do it.
Dustin's the best.
So he, you know, he cued the people in charge that I was going to do something, just have the camera focus on me and do it. And it took off. It got a good reaction.
Yeah.
So I just want to keep doing it now because it gives some people something to talk about.
Sure.
Before you even lock up.
Right.
I want to point out streamers are like the bane of every ref's existence.
I also apologize. Every night, as soon as I throw them,
you do. You get in the ring, you do the little spin, like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then you do them. Like, the thing that I learned when I first started in the indies is to watch, like, the ROH guys, and they do, like, the snow angels, and they try and, like, grab them all in. You just kind of rip them when they're stuck on the ropes and just let the crew guys pick them all up. But I'm just like, please make your entrance first so I have time to actually clean these up. Like, when your entrance is second, I'm like, God damn it. We're going to slow this down. We're not going to be able to start this match.
And then the
I'm gonna feed this guy Blue Jolly Ranchers after this.
Okay, well, that's how you get me to just quit.
We're swole.
No,
we're swole when you need her.
Somebody needs to call the wambulance on this one. Okay.
All right. PSR director on Twitter, Serpentico, why did you agree to be used as a weapon?
I didn't. Have you seen the size of Luther?
Yeah, you can't really say no. Look at that face.
Yeah, look at him. He seems nice, you know, until the bell rings and something snaps. Yeah.
And he starts yelling.
I can't
at
get
people.
Away, so I need to also, you know, try to win matches. So,
just call me JJ on Twitter. Luther, what got you into ghosts and ghost stories?
Yeah.
Oh, so many different things. Which I'll bring up. I have a new show out.
Yes, you do.
World of Cryptids, Ghosts, and the Unexplained. I'd love to have you guys on sometime.
Wow, absolutely.
So that's something that really has interested me my whole life. I haven't brought this up on my show, but I'll tell a little bit here. I think I saw a ghost when I was a kid sleeping over at my friend's house. We were sleeping, and we were in double beds, and I woke up, and he was still asleep. So you know when you sleep over as a kid, you don't wake to the person. So I just was reading comics. And then I saw this girl looking through a door at me, blonde hair, just staring, a teenage girl. And I waved, and then she smiled. I looked at my friend, because it's a sister, and I looked back, and she's gone. I was like, oh, whatever. I go back to reading comics. And then I go upstairs, and the parents are fixing breakfast and hanging out. And I said something about, oh, I saw your sister. And they both stopped. And, like, I was about 6 years old. So I was still really young, but old enough to know when adults are acting weird, you know?
Right. You can read a room.
Yeah, and so they're acting weird, and they're looking at each other, and they're like whispering. I couldn't really make. And then my friend goes, he whispers to me, goes, I don't have a sister. And so, and then they said, well, you should go home. And, like, they shuffled me home. So I didn't think anything of it.
Oh, no.
I just, like, as I got older and think about, like,
suddenly
about
he stops answering my phone calls. We're not friends anymore. It's like, what did you do?
I was thinking, like, I did, as a little kid, all I thought of is, like, what did I do? Dude,
like you messed it up. You
so like I
bad.
Felt bad like for my like I did yeah. I don't know why I got sent home or whatever. But then as I got older, I'm like, did I see something maybe?
Yeah.
And they knew
about it?
I don't know. Like, and you know, as kids, like now there's the social media, but back then there wasn't. Like, this was in like early 1901, right? So when I was a kid.
When you were a child.
Yeah. So we didn't, so when you move away, you just lost touch with those people. So
right.
I don't know what happened. And then I saw I'll say a UFO, because a UFO is unidentified flying object. One time I saw like a bright light flying around when I was going to Saskatchewan. Have you been to Saskatchewan?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely straight. You can drive 10 hours without doing a turn.
Yeah.
So driving straight, I saw it go side to side on my windshield and like just hover, and then the other side hover, and then take off. And I was like, I don't know what that was, but that was not a plane, because a plane doesn't just stop.
No, they don't stop and go backwards and forwards again.
I was like, I don't know what that was. So that kind of stuff really got me going. And then when the pandemic hit and we were sitting at home for a long time, and, you know, trying to stay busy, and even now just trying to stay busy sometimes, like keep your mind going. I was like, so many guys from wrestling have wrestling podcasts or like cool podcasts, and it's like, I want to get something that's different. Well, this is an AEW podcast, right?
Sure, but sure.
I can't come up with an AEW podcast because you guys are doing
it. I got that.
Right? So I was like, what can I do and use all the cool people I know
right.
and do something completely different? And I was like, boom.
ghost stories.
Yeah.
I think you would ask me in an airport, like, do you have a ghost story? I'm like, I hate ghost stories. I'm afraid of the dark. I want nothing to do with this. And you're like, can you read one? I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. Love to help a brother out.
I get the fan mail, and then I have my guests read the fan mail from the fans.
Yeah. I got a number of ghost stories when my years in baseball.
Okay.
We stayed when we would go to Scranton, Pennsylvania. We would stay at the Walk Atlanta Station. It's now Radisson, but it used to be where World War One veterans were sent in the corpses, and they were put in the basement, and that's where the families would come identify them. And so
there's some lingering energy.
Well, the big time.
Oh boy,
big time. Yeah. So.
So this stuff's so interesting.
Yeah, a lot of things happened in my room and in the hallways. Ghost-wise.
Ghost-wise.
Just to get it right.
Ghost-wise.
That's what we're calling
it. That's great stuff. That is.
Hall of the Above on Twitter. Serpentico, do you have a working relationship with Jake the Snake Roberts?
I'm terrified of the man. No, I don't. I'm
gonna He's just going to put you in a bag.
Yeah, just put me in a bag and... You know, and throw me around the ring, and I get that enough, guys.
You don't need another source.
I don't need somebody else to throw me around.
This is a long one, and this is like freaking weird.
Let's go.
Augment Prime on Twitter. Any plans to expand Chaos Project into a stable?
Ooh.
Ryzen, Abaddon, Maki Ito, and even Matt Hardy's Damascus all embrace their inner chaotic
evil selves,
and already favor the color red. The Dark Order needs a proper feud with a group that truly embraces the darkness.
Spoilers, everyone in wrestling favors red.
It's true.
Yeah, look at any indie gear.
It's law.
it's law.
You have to, it's a rite of passage.
It is. It is. Anyway, the additions to your stable, what do you think?
Right now, we don't know. We're focusing on getting Chaos Project, you know, off the ground and trying different things, wrestling different teams and how we gel. We're not saying no, we just don't. Now, all I do know is that if we ever do decide to expand, I'm taking a break from being thrown around. So the other person,
you need someone small.
Marco.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
We'll talk.
Yeah,
chaos it up.
So, Augment, thank you for your question. Make sure next time though you eat half a gummy instead of a full gummy. So you get on Twitter. Jeez, that's pretty deep.
All right. Kyle L. on Twitter. Mm. Luther, how do you prepare for death matches?
Mm.
Same as you do any match. You just go do them.
You just any sort of extra mental preparation, or you just talk out the spots in the way that you normally would?
Whenever I've done any kind of barbed wire match or anything like that, I haven't treated it any different really than any other match. It's just going to know it's going to hurt more.
Right.
I want to know what your thoughts are on this, because I've kind of heard this in my circles in the indies is if you have to do a chair shot on somebody, you don't practice it first, because otherwise you're going to fuck it up when you actually do it. Is that kind of the case that you take with death matches? If you're worried about barbed wire, don't worry about it. And then when you're there, everything's just going to work out.
Do it live.
Yeah, I think if you worry about it, you could try to get in your head and maybe get scared or talk yourself out or any of the above. So, yeah, I just go do it. Have fun. Hope for the best.
Mm. Yeah. We also prepare by matches by watching a lot of Family Guy.
We watch a lot of recent. American Dad.
Something recent we just put on TBS marathons until our match time. And
TBS,
it works out.
Shout out to our partner company.
The Chaos Lair. That's part of our training.
We have three channels. Yes, TNT and QVC. That's it.
QVC. Yeah. Do you hang out with Alex Abrahenses?
Yeah, sometimes.
Here's a follow-up question for you, Luther. So what's the most brutal match you've ever been during your tenure in Japan?
Oh, in Japan? I don't know which would be the most brutal.
You said a barbed wire match. That's got to I mean, there's nothing easy about that.
A barbed wire match. But
barbed wire.
Yeah, I guess that would be brutal. I don't know. To me, the brutal ones are when I get hurt, if you get hurt. That, to me, is that was brutal.
Right. Yeah, right.
One time I did a drop kick off the top over there, and I landed weird, and I dislocated my shoulder.
Ugh.
And so they took me to the hospital the next day, and I was I got rushed through past everybody, and then...
That's how you know it's bad. When you get rushed in the back in the ER.
I tried to tell myself it was my celebrity.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what it was.
There you go.
That's what it was.
It's I'm big in Japan.
But let me rephrase this by saying rush past everybody. I was in there for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's
there you go.
Rushing. Okay.
So... And then the doctor came in and gave me the diagnosis for my shoulder. He said, your shoulder is hurt.
Hurt?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong, correct.
I was like 6 hours and that's what you told me. Yeah. And then he gave me some like pain pills that I don't really take that stuff. So I just went back. So I just taped it every night. Hockey tape. They didn't have KT tape. And then every night my shoulder would pop out and then I'd get it put back in.
Ooh.
So to me, that was more brutal than anything.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Because that was hurt like a Dickens. But
that was probably the same doctor that you go to and you say, doctor, it hurts when I move my arm. And he says, then don't move your arm.
Don't move it. Yeah. So
you got a hurt shoulder.
It was crazy. But yeah, over there, I would probably say barbed wire matches are always a little brutal. I've never been in an exploding barbed wire match, though, so this will be something really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Excited.
It really is.
Donut Shop on Twitter. Serpentico, you have a number of masks. Do you have a favorite color?
Red.
Okay.
Big
on indies.
I don't have specifically like a favorite mask or anything or color because I just my gear maker, like I trust him and I just go, hey, send me 5 masks and I trust you. Just whatever you want, just send me.
Right.
And I get cool stuff every time. So I don't want like a cool or preferred one. But because Chaos Project, our colors are red, you know,
red,
black. So I guess those right now, any of those combinations work. I got some cool stuff for the pay-per-view, so we'll see if it
that. Okay, time. So his new mask is super cool, and I also really like your white and red one.
Well, thank you very much. I like your paint. Well,
thank you.
See,
oh,
acting till the end.
They're adorable.
Yeah. You know, we bring each other food at the show.
We do.
Really,
we do. Whoever
we look
shows
after
up
each
first.
Other.
Whoever shows up first, that's, you know,
that's
we'll bring
what,
each
that's
other
why
food.
Teammates should do.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I've never this, brought this you is, food.
I've had a lot of really cool teammates, but it's like. With Serpentico, it's literally been like, feels like we've been tagging for a year. Really, he's like an old wife. Like, I've been married to him for
right.
Back to
years.
The marriage thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of that has to do, obviously, with you guys coming up in the ranks, and you're in a situation now that we're all very fortunate to be in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're trying to make the most of it, right? I mean, we all do, right? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
This is awesome.
Lots of fun.
Let's give the social media things here to you. Go ahead, Aubrey. You got your thing open.
You can follow Serpentico on Instagram and Twitter at King Serpentico and Luther at Dr.Luther and on Instagram, Kill Luther Kill on Twitter.
Okay.
Kill Luther Kill.
Right.
Guess what he does?
And don't forget his podcast,
yes.
Luther's World of Cryptids, Ghosts, and the Unexplained.
Yes.
You can find it anywhere you get your podcast.
Same where you can find us, AEW Unrestricted, wherever you get your podcast. New episode every Thursday. You can also find us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just search AEW Unrestricted and watch all the cool prior episodes of all the awesome people we have at AEW, including these two gentlemen.
And don't forget to watch Dynamite each and every Wednesday on TNT, 8 o'clock, 7 Central. That's where you'll see referee Aubrey bitch about having to clean the ring after Serpentico's in.
God damn.
And AEW Dark.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's why I really
chaos
have
project.
To
that's when that's when
that's right.
Really streamers.
That's
everywhere.
It's dark with the Chaos Project, and that's every Tuesday on our YouTube channel. So.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys.
Cool. Thank you.
Appreciate right. you.
Thank
this you was so much fun.
My name is Tony Schiavone.
My name's Aubrey Edwards.
And thank you for being with us on AEW
Unrestricted. Yeah.